Praise the Lord, church. So good to be here tonight on this absolute... Didn't we have a beautiful day today? We're supposed to have, what do they call that, like a super blue moon or something like that? It's supposed to be very rare. I don't know how rare is when it comes to blue moons. I think somebody wrote a song about it, didn't they? Blue moon. But anyway, if you're a guest here tonight, so great to have you, whether you're here in person or you're visiting with us online. And if you're here in person, out in the kiosk, we have a little check-in. I think it's Sister Nancy Gomez is out there ready to check you in and just get a little bit of information and a small gift for you. If you're online, you can go to our bit.ly link and just follow the prompts. They're online. We have some giving options. We have some new offering boxes. I don't know if you've noticed that. Out in the vestibule, we have three. Instead of the one clear plexiglass one that's sitting, you can kind of see there. We have a nice little photo for you. And so those are our new offering boxes out there. There's three of them. You can give that way, or you can take and you can mail it in or go to our website, or you can go right to the Church Center app. How many of you have the Church Center app on your phone? I just want to encourage. Today I was got a message from, or I checked the messages. I don't always check like instantly all the time. But it was just so neat because it had the church schedule, had all of the events coming up. And I just want to thank Brother Phil Demas for putting all this together and making it so much easier for us to keep track of things. And if you're in the over 55 non-tech type crowd, if you're a baby boomer, a late baby boomer, and you are unfamiliar with all of your phone app different selections and choices you have, you can turn notifications on and off for various apps so you don't get like everything that comes through. If you have any questions about that, just feel free to see Brother Phil, and he'll take and help walk you through that. And so we also have this Saturday visitation at 10 a.m. and funeral at 10:30 for the homegoing service for our brother James Hawk. And he has requested, or Sister Audrey, the family's requested, you know, Brother James, his favorite color was purple. And he had that purple suit, and he looked so sharp in that. But he requested, and the family requests, that everyone wear bright, vibrant colors. I did state that I was not going to wear a pink suit. I remember a bunch of guys going to Chicago once with Brother James to some suit shop down there, and one of the brothers came back with a pink suit, and I'm not going to wear a pink suit, but there's a whole joke behind that. James doesn't like pink. So, but anyway, and then we have Benjamin Smith next Thursday at 6 p.m. There will be a homegoing service for Brother Ben, and the refreshments will follow. And Brother Ben, I don't know if you knew, many of you knew this, but he had a Harley motorcycle, and he was kind of a quiet Harley guy, and he'd put on his fake pigtail and his fake beard, and he would rip around the countryside, down country roads, terrorizing people's chickens, and not just joking. But Brother Ben had a Harley, and he was involved in that apostolic motorcycle Harley group. And so they're asking if you have any Harley clothes or anything Harley related. I think his motorcycle actually will be here in the vestibule. So, but anyway, so that will be next this next Thursday. So next Wednesday, September 6th, we have our family focus service. Brother Peter Sandin and the family ministry will be responsible for that. And we have September 8th, Section 3. We have our Section 3 prayer. So we have our normal prayer meeting, but it's going to be the entire section will be here on September 8th. So that'll be next week, Friday. So with that, if we could just stand. It's so great to have Brother and Sister Byfield here with us tonight. Brother Dean, Sister Lorene, and Caleb Byfield. And they are outgoing missionaries to the nation of France. And they will be sharing that with us tonight. He'll be preaching for us. So it's so great to have them here. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. I ask you, Lord, that you would bless this service. God, I pray, Lord, that you be anointing upon Brother Byfield, his family, as they go to the nation of France. We also pray, Lord, for our worship. Brother Dan, as he leads us in worship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated or you can stand. You can come down to the front, whatever. Brother Dan, just lead us in worship.
How sweet to a newborn baby, and feed the bride, and joy he gives, but calm assurance.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How can I say thanks for the food? Sorry, I can't find the key here. Things so undeserved. There it is. And he gave to prove your love for me. Oh, the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. Let's worship the Lord. Let's give him what he deserves. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
And you can return to your seats. And if we could stand this evening. One thing I failed to mention, and I'm so excited about this, our Janesville extension had 57 on Sunday. So 19 first-time visitors, and Brother Josh Stone spoke, did a tremendous job, so thank you so very much. We are excited tonight to have Brother and Sister Byfield and their family, their son Caleb, here as missionaries to France, and they have lots of ties here to Calvary, and I'll let him explain all of that when he gets here, but it's so great to have you here, brother, and we just want you to come share your burden. Preach to us tonight. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, everyone. How many are happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to McDonald's. Thank you, buddy. That's my best friend. He laughed at that joke. But he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. The Bible said, at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's so good to be here tonight. We are blessed. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come and be a part of this great church. We have heard so much about it, and we were excited to finally come and be here with you. And to Pastor and Sister Grant, I say thank you for allowing us to be here. This is a wonderful, wonderful church. And to the Browns, super host. Amen. I'm sure you've heard that before. Amen. We have been blessed and privileged to be staying in their home for the last day and a half. And what a blessing that has been. I said to someone, if it's not in the Browns' home, it's not legal. They have everything that you need. I'm thankful for them. Thank you for that. And it's so good to be with the saints of God. As Pastor said, we've got some connections here. The Rivets family, we are so glad to be with them. Now, I'm more familiar with Amy. We were living in New York. I grew up in New York, and Amy came with a friend to New York for work purposes, and we got to meet them there, and we tried to keep them in New York. We kept one. We kept her friend for a while, but Amy came back. There was this guy, Jim, that she kept talking about that she came back for, and so we let her go back, but we're so happy to be with them and that family. And with all the saints of God, it's a privilege for us to be here with you tonight. As Pastor said, we are missionaries to France. We have been there for 4 years. And what's happening right now, we are on deputation. I know that this is a missions church and you know it, but I have to explain it so my bosses are happy. So what happens is that we are missionaries. The United Pentecostal Church appoints us as missionaries for 4 years. And we go to our country, our field. And for 4 years, we are there. And at the end of those 4 years, we return to North America, and we do what's called deputation, what we're doing right now. And we travel to various churches. Literally, this deputation from New York to California, from east to west, we'll be traveling to many churches, speaking about what God is doing in France, and also raising funds for us to go back. And years ago, missionaries would do what we're doing right now for about 2 years. They would be on deputation traveling for about 2 years. Thankfully, because of churches like this that give to missions and pray for missionaries, some missionaries now are only doing deputation for 6 months. And that is a big deal. That is a big deal. And so thank you for your continual support for Global Missions. Move the Mission. I know that offering was just this past weekend. We were beneficiaries of that, and we're thankful for your support in every way. Amen. How many people in the congregation speak French? One. Two. All right. Well, we're going to have a test shortly after church. My son is going to come with my wife, and they're going to teach you a little bit of French. I want you to pay close attention. We will be having a quiz at the end of church. There might be some prizes involved. It will only be oral. It will not be a written quiz, but just pay close attention to your first French class. Amen.
Bonjour, Église.
Hello, Church.
Je suis contente d'être ici dans la présence de Dieu.
I'm glad to be here in God's presence.
J'aimerais bien vous apprendre un petit peu de français.
And I would like to teach you a bit of French.
Est-ce que vous êtes prêts?
Are you ready?
Ok, on y va.
All right, let's go.
Gloire au Seigneur, il est digne de louange.
Praise the Lord, he is worthy to be praised.
Répétez après moi.
Repeat after me.
Gloire.
Gloire.
Au. Seigneur.
Seigneur.
Il.
Il.
Est.
Est.
Digne.
digne
de
louange.
Tous ensemble.
Everybody together.
Gloire au Seigneur. Il est. Understand what's so funny?
We don't remember.
Oh.
Gloire au Seigneur, il est digne de louange.
Très bien.
Very good. Praise the Lord, church. It's so great to be here at Calvary with each one of you, to be worshiping God together and feeling His presence. And I'm going to give you just a quick summary of what's going on in France. Many things are going on, but just a couple of highlights. We can start the slideshow now if you'd like. France is made up of 67 million people, and there's only 21 United Pentecostal churches. So basically, for every church, there's 319,000 people. So France is very, very underchurched, and he needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. 5 years ago, my husband and I were called to be missionaries there, and we had a burden to reach the lost and advance his kingdom in France. So we started off going to the main church that was there. My parents are missionaries for the last 40 years, so we went to help them. And God really wanted it put in us in our heart to start other works. So we prayed, and about in the year 2020, we met this lady called Virginie. And that previous week, she had been in a psychiatric hospital, and she was going through terrible things. And we started teaching her home Bible study, and eventually she got the Holy Ghost, received and got baptized in Jesus' name, and we were so thankful for that. But then she wanted to start a home group in her house. So we started teaching the Bible to her and her friends in her house. But then her house got too small. So this was in the city of Sens, which is about an hour and a half from Paris, if you can show that next slide. So it's an hour and a half southeast of Paris. And her house got too small, so we got this location that we started to rent practically for free. That's another amazing story, but I don't have much time. So we started a group there, and right before we left, we installed a pastor there because the work is just thriving, and you'll see that next page. So in 2 years, from a one-person Bible study, we have this great work in Sens, and people are getting baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and getting healed. We thank God for that. And God started doing the same thing in the city where we live, in Fontainebleau. Fontainebleau is a beautiful city where Napoleon used to live. There was a beautiful castle there. There's many schools. There's a prestigious MBA school. So there's many students from around the world that come to study for a short period and go back. And so God laid in our hearts a burden to reach those people so that when they come, they get saved and they go back to their countries to evangelize their countries. And so we prayed for God to open the door in Fontainebleau for about 3 years, but nothing was happening. But one day, we had three of our young people that were just walking around the marketplace trying to connect with somebody, and they ran into this girl called Mabel, who's from Lebanon, and she was hungry for God. She had actually prayed that very week for God to lead her to Christians in that city so that she could share the word of God with them. And so we started teaching her a home Bible study in our apartment, and she invited her friends, and our apartment got too small. So we found this location right in the middle of the main street of the town of Fontainebleau. And God, you can show the next slide. That's Mabel on the left side. And then the next slide, we found this location called the Refuge, Le Refuge. And in that place, we teach home Bible studies, we teach group lessons, and then we also get involved in the community. We have one of our ladies who teaches French to English-speaking people, and she's making many contacts just by doing that. And we also have this amazing opportunity where there's this young man who has been who's in high school, and he had a burden for God from God to reach the souls in his high school. So he started a Bible class in his school, but they wouldn't give him a room just to do that. So he came to the Refuge, and he's bringing all his friends faithfully every Friday, and they're bringing their friends as well, and they're so hungry for God. And we know that starting September, when school starts again, they're going to try to reach all the high schools in Fontainebleau. So we can't wait to see what happens in the next few months. You can show the next slides with the group that meets, and then the other one, and the next one as well. That's the high school group that's meeting right now. And right before we left, Mabel, our first contact, the next slide, just got baptized in Jesus' name. And her friend Izzy, who's from London. And so we thank God for what he's doing in Fontainebleau. And we know that God is going to do this throughout France. The doors are opening, and we want to walk through those doors. We thank you because you pray and you give, and because of your giving, this is possible in France. And thank you for your prayers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And thank you for your giving. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike. We will go back, and there's much work left to do. We're going to start new works. There's much territory left to conquer. And I'm going to leave you with this one last verse in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. God is doing great things in France, and we're thankful for that. As my wife said, France is very underchurched, and we are looking to spread the gospel into all these various cities. France considers itself a Catholic nation. Many of the people, however, do not attend church. And so from city to city, you will find these large buildings and properties, Catholic churches, that are empty. And God has allowed us the church in Sens that my wife spoke about. We are renting that building every Friday for just 30 euros. Just 30 euros, we're renting the building. And in another city in France, she didn't talk about this, but this is what's just been happening right before we left. We are renting another Catholic facility, but this time the priest said, I don't want a dime. Zero. I don't want any money, and we're starting a church there. And I just believe that God has prepared this for us. Amen. And that's not because of we call ourselves United Pentecostal, but because we are his children. He says, you are my children, the sheep of my pasture, and God is going to take care of us, and we believe that. If you want to help us with projects that are happening in France right now, there are green forms on the table outside. We ask that you take one. And you could give to whatever project that resonates with you. Two main projects that we're trying to get done before we go back is an evangelism fund. That evangelism fund will help us to travel to different cities in France to be able to plant churches. And that is a big need right now. And also translation. You are so blessed here in the U.S. You can get books, resources at your fingertips, literally. In France, that's not the case. We do not have many of even our own books that by our own UPC writers that has been translated to France. So we're lacking in resources. So there's a young lady in our church that is just in the midst of forming a publishing company, and we want to get material for her to be able to translate Bible studies, leadership books, everything possible translated in French so we can help the people not only in that country. We don't want to only grow quantitatively, but we want to grow with quality. Amen. And so if you would help us with that, we would appreciate it. The green forms are there. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Pastor tells me that we get out at about 10:30, so I'm a little bit late, so I better get going here. We better get going. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. I'm going to try my best here. Matthew 14, verses 22. The Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent his multitudes away. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, everyone say the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. and they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid. For a few moments, I want to speak to you on something I've entitled Purpose in the Storm. Purpose in the Storm. Let's ask the Lord to help us here in the next few minutes. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need your strength. We need your power. Speak, Lord God. Touch hearts and lives. This is your word, not our words. Lord God, I pray that you would change us, wash us by your word. We pray, Lord God, that you'll touch lives tonight. We believe in you and we trust in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a high five and say, there's a purpose in your storm. Amen. Amen. Some of you said a lot more than that. Amen. Amen. The scripture text that we just read is a familiar story. Yeah, many people know that. That is the story. The next few verses talk about Jesus walking on the water. So many people are familiar with that in and out of the church. We find it in the Gospel of Mark and John. And I'll take a little bit out of both of those Gospels just to frame this unique story here as we go through it. The disciples are in a special time in their lives. They had recently heard about the news about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was just crucified. Actually, John the Baptist was just killed. He was beheaded by Herod. And as you could imagine, the disciples are not probably in their best place. They're emotionally speaking. They're wondering, well, what's happening? This was the forerunner of Jesus, and now he's beheaded. Herod has killed him. And so their spirits were probably down at that point. But then they had also just witnessed Jesus perform a miracle of feeding 5,000 plus people with five loaves of bread and two fish. And now they've probably gone to an all-time low to saying, there is hope. They're going through this emotional kind of roller coaster. And now immediately after this, they're probably on a high. Jesus sends them on a boat. He says, I want you to get on a boat and I want you to cross this body of water and go to the other side while he himself went up to the mountain to pray. And I can imagine the conversation on that boat was about how did he do that with the bread? How did he multiply? And they're probably talking and just rehearsing what God has just, what Jesus has just done. And now as they're talking about that, here comes the storm. Have you ever experienced that kind of thing in your life where one day, one week it's good and the next day it's not so good and the next week it's good and then here comes the storm. And as they are there, the Bible says they are in the ship in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary to them. They were struggling to row the boat. But the more they were rowing the boat, the less effective they were being. They were probably about 3 or 4 miles away from their departure point. No doubt they were under the cover of darkness. They could not see or could not find their way back. And now they're in a storm. So the conversation goes quickly from, isn't he good? To, where is he? Remember the Bible says, Jesus sent them there. And I know sometimes we believe as Christians, there is no way that Jesus is going to send me into the storm. That's not how he operates, but I beg to differ. Because on this occasion, it was Jesus that sent them in the storm. And as I'm talking about a physical or a literal storm tonight, most of us or a lot of us can identify with being in that kind of storm. But we can, tonight, people in here can raise their hands and say, I've been through some storms in my life. It might not be a literal storm, but I've been through some things. I've been through some struggles. I've been through some situations. I've hit rock bottom in my life. I've witnessed the storm. Storms in life are so varied. Illness, opposition, pressures at work, unemployment, relationship difficulties. You name it, we face trials and temptations, and there are storms that are in all of our lives. What's worse, like these disciples,
when you're in the middle of your storm, you're praying, you're fasting, you're coming to church, you're doing as much as you feel that you need to do, but nothing is changing. That's what they were doing. They were toiling, the Bible says, but nothing seemed to be changing. And worse than that, now they're probably wondering, where is Jesus? If there was any time that he needed to be with us, it is now. Have you ever felt that? You've been going through some struggles, and you say, you know what? If there was ever a time I needed to feel Jesus, it is right now. But he is seemingly absent in this situation. Jesus, where are you? I'm speaking to people tonight that you are either getting ready to go into a storm. You are either in the middle of the storm or you have just come out of one. Everyone in this room has had trials and situations in their lives. But I've got a word from you for you tonight from the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus came to them in the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch is a term that was introduced by the Romans. And this is how it went. The first watch, therefore, the first watch was from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That was called the evening. Everyone say the evening. We'll get back to that. The second watch is from 9 p.m. to 12 midnight. The third watch is from midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now, why am I telling you this? Because in Mark chapter 6, verses 47, the Bible seems to indicate that these disciples are on this boat. It says, and when evening was come, this is that 6 to 9 p.m. hour, they were on the ship, and it was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. It is possible, I'm not saying it's absolutely fact, it is possible that that storm could have started around that 6 to 9 p.m. period. It is possible that because Jesus came walking on the fourth watch, which was hours after, that they could have been out there rowing on that water for hours looking for their master. Where is Jesus? They could have started rowing in the evening. But the Bible says that Jesus came on the fourth watch. But here is the good news in all of that. The Bible says in Mark 6:48, and he saw them toiling and rowing. I don't know about you, but that gives me pleasure tonight, knowing that my God sees my situation. He knows that I'm toiling. He knows that I'm rowing. He knows what I am going through. The Bible says he sees them. They cannot see him, but he sees what is happening in their lives. We serve a God that while you are in the midnight hour of your situation, the darkness is all around and you cannot see. We have a God that sees clearly. He knows exactly. The Bible, in fact, in Psalms 139, verse 11 through 12, it says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What does that mean? Even in your darkest hour, Jesus can see you. He can make his way right through your situation. And you might think that he's absent, but can I confirm to you tonight? He is not absent. The Bible says that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. When you feel he might not be there, he is right there with you. Yes, he is. And so, here they are. They're rowing and they're toiling. And Jesus decides that he's going to come walking on the water. You see, God tests us. This is not the first time they had been in a storm in a boat. They had been there one time before, but that time Jesus was on the boat. All they had to do was say, hey, wake up. We're in a storm. But this time, there was no Jesus. And they're wondering, this is new. You ever been to a place before where you said, this is new. I've not been here before. So Jesus decides it's time. Let me go walking to my people. Let me go walking to these disciples. And as Jesus comes walking on the water, the Bible says the disciples see him. He's walking on the sea. And they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out with fear. The disciples did not recognize him. They thought it was a ghost. They were afraid. This just added to the storm. Fear in the midst of the storm. But I want you to see for just a minute the purpose in this storm. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them. Now, he's walking. Picture this. He's walking on the water. He's coming towards them. They're in the boat. And they're looking and saying, what is that? Is it a spirit? Jesus walks toward them. And he does not say at that point, peace be still. Storm still raging. And this is what he says. While the storm is raging, watch this. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Wait a minute. Shouldn't he have stopped the storm before he said that? No. He wanted them to know that even when the storm is raging, hear the word of the Lord. Be not afraid. It is I. I am here for you. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What do you mean? But we have a confidence that all things work. That's why when we are in the middle of the storm, yes, it's possible for us to be of good cheer and have joy unspeakable because we know of a God that's in control, a God that's in charge. Amen, amen. And so here they are now. It seems like the purpose is so that he could begin to reveal himself to them. He said, it is I. Remember, that goes all the way back to the I am. He was always trying to reveal himself to, this is me. I am Jesus. I am God. This is I. You know, it seems like from the rest of the story that the disciples, they knew who he was, but they weren't quite sure. This is the miracle worker. I know that. But is he God? And so now, could it be that Jesus creates a situation so he could confirm to them, I am God. You see, sometimes in our lives, we're more concerned about Jesus stopping the storm. He's more concerned with getting close to you and revealing himself to you. That's why when the storm is raging, he comes to you and says, be of good cheer. It is I. And so they are here. And Peter, my man Peter, he says, Jesus, if it's you, let me come out of this boat and walk on the water. Peter jumps out of the boat, starts walking on the water. Folks, the storm is still raging. At no point yet in the story has Jesus stopped the storm. So now, Peter has not only been revealed that this is Jesus, but now he has the ability to have a faith on a level that he's not only able to have good cheer in his storm, but he's able to walk on his storm. The very thing that was troubling the boat, he's now able to walk on that very thing. And he starts walking towards Jesus. But as we all do many times, we look around. Well, the bills are not paid. Well, the kids are having problems. Well, my finances, well, my health, and then we start looking around. And what happens to us? We sink back into this feeling. We have this feeling again. What's going on in my life? Oh. And Peter begins to look around at the storm. And the Bible says he begins to sink. But it's at that moment he cried out to the Lord to save him. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said, O thou of little faith. Then they begin to walk back to the boat. Folks, the storm is still raging. All of this is happening, and it's still storming. Jesus is showing Peter, listen, all this, it doesn't bother me. You might be drowning. You might be sinking. It's raging all around, but come on, just take my hand. I'm not going to stop it. I want to show you that I'm going to take you through it. Let's go back to the boat, Peter. And so he grabs him and he takes him back to the boat. But I want you to watch this. When they get back to the boat, can you imagine the other disciples? And the purpose begins to be revealed. Because as Jesus gets back in the boat with Peter, Matthew 14:33, this is what they say. Then those that were in the ship, the guys that didn't want to get out, they said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So if they had any doubt before, this thing that they thought was coming to kill them actually came to give them a revelation. This thing that they thought was going to destroy them actually got them closer to Jesus. Could it be that thing in your life that you think is out to destroy you has been meant to draw you closer to Jesus? And it's right after he gets back into the boat, he finally says, peace, be still. I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish now. These boys in this boat know who I am. And now he says, peace, be still. I can guarantee you that those disciples had a testimony. You see, you never know he's your Jehovah Jireh unless you're in a situation where he's had to provide for you. We all come to this church, but there's some of us that have a testimony that says, I know in whom I believe. And the reason you have that testimony is because you said, one day I walked on my storm. One day in the middle of my situation, God stretched his hand out for me and I walked on my storm. There is a depth. Musicians could begin to come. There is a depth. That you attain after going through the storm. Two things can happen after the storm. You could get bitter or you could get better. You could get bitter at God, or your relationship with him could get deeper. Can I speak to someone right here tonight? The trial that you are going through. Listen, folks, things do not just happen to us randomly. That's not our lives. That's not how it happens. The Bible says all things work together for good. Every last person in this room, everyone under the sound of my voice, God's got a plan for your life. Sometimes the storm comes because we create situations, but sometimes he sends you into the storm. Because he knows that when you come through this storm, you are going to have a depth of relationship with him that you are going to need, perhaps for the next storm. Maybe a depth of relationship so you can be a witness to someone that can say, I know what he's done for me. It's not what my pastor said, but let me tell you my testimony. Your test can really become your testimony. There's a purpose in every situation that you go through in your life. Storms come to cause fear, shake your foundation, destroy your faith, and get you off track. Because you see, sometimes Satan, he knows the purpose of the storm, so he tries to twist it. God might allow the storm to let you get deeper, but Satan says, I'm going to do something different with this. I'm going to rock their faith. But God has a different purpose. He wants to calm fears, increase your faith, strengthen your foundation, and get you right back on track. 1 Peter 5, verses 10 through 11. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He said, well, after you've suffered for, this is what he does. So let the storm clouds roll. They don't bother me. I'm getting ready to be established, strengthened in the Lord because of the storm. There's a depth that God wants to take every man, woman, boy, and girl. He does not want to have a surface relationship with us. He does not want a casual friendship. He does not. He wants to have a deep relationship with every person in this room. In his book, my last comments, in his book, the late Calvin Miller, he wrote a book called Into the Depths of God. He says, he went to the Great Barrier Reef, and like all other visitors of the reef, I was overwhelmed by the odd sensation of standing only ankle deep 70 or 90 miles out in the middle of the ocean. He said, I was with my son. My son had come to scuba dive while my wife and I came to snorkel. He says, for a while, my son plunged deeply beneath the clear waters to bury himself in the wonders of the mysterious ocean depths. My wife and I, however, only wearing masks, floated on the surface face down. In some ways, what we were all seeing looked the same. But my wife and I literally sunburned our backs in our surface study of the reef while our son plunged into its wonders. He says, what amazes me the most is what we reported upon our return from the Great Barrier Reef. Ask me if I've been there, I will hastily answer, yes, so will my son. However, the truth is that the content of our experience was greatly different. One person could say, I've been to the depths, I've seen it, I know. And another could say, I know a little bit, I've seen a little bit, but I don't really know too much. God is reaching for someone tonight that's saying, I want to draw you closer to me. I want you to be deeper. I want to have a genuine relationship with you. I want to be your God. I want you to be my child. I want to be there with you. I created you for a purpose, and I'm calling you to a deeper relationship. Yes, the storms of life are there, but we have a God that could give us purpose in the storm. Stand with me. I feel a sense of healing. God wants to heal. So if you're like me, there are times when you look and you say, God, what's going on? What is going on? Can't figure this out. I thought you were in control. I thought you were in charge. What's going on? My family, my life. He's in control. He's in control. I wonder if you could join me at this altar tonight before we go. I want to see you unite together as a church. I wish I could stand here tonight and say, listen, young man, no more storms. It's done. Life, smooth. Everyone here would know that's not the truth. But I can tell you one thing. Your next storm, when you come out of it, you'll have be closer to God than you've ever been before. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you come down a little bit closer, I want you to connect with somebody if it's appropriate. Some of you are going through some family situations right now. You've got to make some decisions. It's raging. He's here. He's here and in the next few minutes, he's going to confirm that he is a present help in the time of trouble. If you will just begin to lift your voice right now and begin to call out to God, why don't we just be honest with him? God, I don't understand what's going on. God, I don't understand that doctor's report. I don't understand what's going on in my family and my marriage. I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on at school. I don't understand what's going on with my relationship with you, God. I used to feel so close to you, but I don't understand what's going on. Hey, God is right. He's stretching his hand out for you. He's stretching his arm out for you.
It's your God, your love. trust what you say. Let your grace.
I want you to start declaring victory now for that person that you're praying for. We have asked God, I want you to begin to declare victory right now in the name of Jesus. I declare victory in this life. God, we are your people. In the name of Jesus, we declare victory. Come on, somebody do it right now. In the name of Jesus, we will be victorious no matter the circumstances. In the name of Jesus.
Your love is great. I'm broken inside.
so very much, Brother Byfield. A very timely message. Very timely. Thank you so very much. God is so good. Such a sweet, powerful presence of His Spirit in this place here tonight. Just to remember that Brother James Hawk, his homegoing service will be here on Saturday at 10. Be visitation. 10:30 will be a service. And that will be followed up by a luncheon in the fellowship hall. And Sister Audrey and the family's invited all of you. I believe we're having Brother James, his favorite was barbecue ribs. So we're having some smoked ribs and some smoked turkey and all the other fixings, I'm sure, that go along with that. I'm sure we'll be able to find some greens and some cornbread and all those good food there that he loves. But God bless you. Thank you so much again, Brother Sister Byfield, Caleb. So great to have you here this evening. If you would like to, I don't believe we have them as a missionary currently, but we're going to pick them up and sponsor them. And so we're excited about that. And I'd love to partner with planting a church in France. How many of you would like to help plant a church in France? We're going to help them spread this gospel. God bless you. Thank you to our Brother Dan tonight, and Sister Abby and our music team. God bless you. Love all you. We will see you back here hopefully on Saturday. Sunday morning as well. God bless you.